Our text today comes out of Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there's something about standing in line that tests our patience and our sense of worth. We notice who cuts ahead, who seems important enough to think they're important enough to skip the wait in line. Most of us spend our lives trying to move out of an ordinary line, trying to prove that we belong somewhere better, somewhere safer, somewhere that believes we matter. We want to be chosen, named, affirmed. That hunger for belonging runs deep, and it shows up in our relationships, in our work, our faith, and even sometimes the quiet thoughts that we carry when no one else is listening. Matthew takes us to a riverbank where Jesus steps into a line like everyone else. He doesn't arrive with fanfare. He doesn't announce his identity. He doesn't demand special treatment. He comes to the Jordan where John is baptizing people who know they need repentance. People who are naming their brokenness and longing for change. Jesus, who has no sin to confess, places himself among them. He enters the water not above humanity, but with humanity. And that alone tells us something very important about the heart of God. John is uneasy. He knows enough to recognize that something about Jesus is different. John has been preaching repentance, warning of judgment, calling people to turn their lives around. He understands that baptism is a preparation. It's a cleansing. It's a response to sin. When Jesus asks to be baptized, John resists. It feels backwards. The one who should be doing the baptism is instead the one that's stepping into the water. The righteous one is standing with sinners. But Jesus insists. He tells John that this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this moment is part of God's larger purpose. A purpose that includes humanity, obedience, and solidarity with those God has come to save. When Jesus is baptized, the heavens open. This isn't a private spiritual experience. It's a public revelation. The Spirit descends like a dove resting on Jesus. Then a voice speaks from heaven, clear, unmistakable. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Before Jesus preaches a sermon, before he heals a sick body, before he calls a disciple, before he goes to the cross, he is named and claimed. He is called beloved. That order matters. Jesus does not earn this declaration. He doesn't achieve it. He doesn't prove himself worthy of it. He receives it. The Father's love is not a reward for performance. It is the starting point. Jesus' identity comes before his ministry. His belovedness comes before his obedience is tested in the wilderness. The voice from heaven anchors him in who he is before the road ahead becomes hard. This scene tells us something essential about God's nature. God is not distant. He is not silent. God speaks. God names. God delights. The Father claims the Son openly and joyfully. The Spirit's presence confirms and empowers. Here at the Jordan, we see the fullness of God's self-revealed in relationship, love, and mission. This isn't some cold transaction. This is intimacy. This is affirmation spoken out loud. It's also important to notice where this affirmation happens. It happens in the water, a place of vulnerability. It's a moment of obedience that looks ordinary on the surface. Baptism's not flashy. It involves water, trust, and touch. Jesus steps into a ritual that marks repentance and a new beginning, and God meets him there. God doesn't wait for a mountaintop or a throne room. God meets his Son in the river among people who are trying to turn their lives back toward hope. This matters for us because we often assume God's voice comes only after we've cleaned ourselves up or figured everything out. We assume God speaks once we have proven our faithfulness. But the baptism of Jesus tells a different story. God speaks identity before accomplishment. God names belovedness before the mission begins. God's pleasure rests on the Son before a single miracle is performed. That same pattern carries into our own baptism. When we talk about baptism, it's easy to reduce it to a symbol or a membership marker. We treat it as something we did once long ago. Something that we may not even remember if we were baptized as an infant. Maybe it is something that we didn't choose for ourselves. But baptism is far more than a past event. It's a present reality that continues to shape who we are and how we live. In baptism, we are named as God's children. Not because we have earned it, not because we have perfect faith, not because we have avoided failure. We are named because God chooses us. God claims us. Those of us that believe in infant baptism are agreeing with this, that just as God spoke truth over Jesus, he speaks the same over us. God says, "You are mine, you belong, you are loved." Yeah, that naming doesn't erase our struggles or protect us from hardship. Jesus' baptism does not lead him into comfort. It leads him into the wilderness. It leads him into ministry that will be misunderstood, resisted, and ultimately rejected by many. Being loved does not mean being spared. It means being anchored. It means having a steady truth to return to when everything else feels uncertain. Many of us live as though we have to earn our place with God again and again. We measure our faith by our consistency, our success, or our spiritual discipline. When we stumble, we assume that God's pleasure has faded. We imagine God sighing and disappointment, withholding love until we do better. Yet the voice at the Jordan contradicts that story. God's love it's not fragile. It doesn't evaporate when we struggle. It is spoken firmly and freely. Baptism reminds us that our primary identity is not sinner, failure, or disappointment. Our primary identity is beloved child. And that doesn't deny the reality of sin, but it does reframe it. We confess and repent not to earn love, but because we already belong to a God who loves us enough to call us into healing and transformation. The Spirit's descent is just as important as the Father's voice. The Spirit doesn't appear as a show of force or dominance. It appears like a dove. The image is gentle, peaceful, and purposeful. The Spirit rests on Jesus, not briefly passing by, but remaining with Him. This anointing marks Jesus for the work ahead. He's not sent alone. He's empowered, sustained, and guided by God's presence. In baptism, we too are empowered for God's mission. Baptism is not the end of the journey. It is the beginning of a life shaped by God's Spirit. The same Spirit who descended on Jesus is at work in us, nudging us, convicting us, strengthening us, and sending us. The Spirit doesn't call us all to the same tasks, but calls us each to live as witnesses to God's love in the places we already inhabit. The mission doesn't require perfection, it requires availability. Jesus' baptism does not mark Him as untouchable or removed from human life. It marks Him as fully present within it. And our baptism does the same. We are not called out of the world, we are called into it, carrying the truth of who we are and whose we are. For some of us, baptism, that coming to Christ, feels different because life has been hard. We've made choices we regret. We've been hurt by others. Sometimes we've been hurt by the church itself. We may carry shame that tells us we no longer deserve to be God's child. The voice at Jordan speaks into that pain. God does not revoke His love. God does not withdraw identity. God remains faithful even when we struggle to believe it. For others, baptism feels abstract. So like I said, we were baptized as infants. We don't remember the water or the words. Yet baptism is not about our memory. It is about God's promise. Long before we could choose God, God chose us. Long before we could speak faith, God spoke love over us through the gathered community. That promise doesn't expire. It waits patiently for us to live into it. When Jesus rises from the water, nothing about His outward appearance changes. He looks the same. But everything has shifted. His identity has been publicly declared. His mission has been affirmed. His path is set. And baptism often works that way in our own lives. The change is not always visible, but it is real. We walk forward marked by grace, whether we recognize it or not. The temptation we face is to forget who we are. Jesus is soon going to be tempted in the wilderness, and each temptation will question His identity. If you are the Son of God, the enemy attacks the truth spoken at baptism. And the same thing happens to us. We hear voices that say, we are not enough. We are not faithful enough. We are not worthy enough. Baptism comes through the quiet counterpoint. Baptism becomes the quiet counterpoint to those lies. It reminds us that our identity does not come from success or approval. It comes from God. The church has a role in helping one another remember this truth. When we witness a baptism, we are not just watching someone else's moment. We are remembering our own. We are recommitting ourselves to live as people shaped by grace. We are promising to walk together, to remind one another who we are when life tries to tell us otherwise. Living as the baptized means living from love, not toward it. It means serving others, not to prove our faith, but to express it. It means loving generously because we have been loved first. It means stepping into God's mission with humility, trusting that the Spirit goes with us. That mission may look small and ordinary. It may involve listening when someone is hurting, showing patience when it would be easier to walk away, offering forgiveness when resentment feels justified. These acts matter because they flow from who we are. Baptism roots us in a story far bigger than ourselves, a story where God continually moves toward us with grace. Jesus' baptism sets the tone for everything that follows. He will heal, teach, confront injustice, welcome the outsider, and ultimately give his life. Every step is grounded in the truth spoken at the Jordan. He is the beloved Son, anointed by the Spirit, sent into the world for the sake of love. Our baptism places us in that same rhythm. We are named, we are claimed, we are empowered. Not for comfort, but for faithfulness. Not for isolation, but for service. Not to earn God's love, but to live it out. At the Jordan, heavens opened, the Spirit descended, and love was spoken aloud. That same love continues to flow, naming us as God's children and sending us into the world with hope. You are beloved. You are claimed. You are not alone. And God is not finished yet. Bow your heads with me, please. Faithful God, help us to carry the truth of our baptism into the week ahead. Remind us that we don't go alone and that we do not go to earn your love, but to live from it. Let your Spirit shape our steps, shape our words, and steady our hearts. May we move through the world as people who know that we belong to you. Let us live as people who reflect your grace to others. We entrust ourselves to you once more. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.